This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Irish Country Living Podcast. I'm your host, Anne O'Donoghue. So first things first. At one point in the podcast, if you can hear a little bit of dribbling in the background, take no notice. That's my dad doing a little bit of DIY downstairs. So God bless the work. And working from home things, what can you do? So anyway, this week's guest is our very own home nurse columnist, Nessa Robbins. Nessa has been writing for her column Irish Country Living for well over 7 years now. I'm going to say 8 years potentially. And so if you're reading Country Living with a while, you'll definitely know her. Her recipes are all about, I suppose, healing health and how to use food, I suppose, just to improve your well-being. Nessa is trained as a nurse. She came out of nursing when she was having her kids and got really into the food side of things, started doing demos. Then she wrote a cookbook, and that's, I suppose, when she got into writing about ourselves in Irish Country Living. We speak all about her journey from nursing into the food side of things, how she combines the two in her columns, all about writing her book and her food mantras, which involves cake, which is always very good. So enjoy the podcast, guys. Hello, Nessa, how are you? Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Anne, thank you.
How's all with you? Are you in Westmeath today?
I'm in Westmeath, yeah. It's in Moat. It's nice and sunny at the minute, but I think we're going to have rain. It's forecast, I think, for everywhere, isn't it, at the minute? Pity for the start of May. We don't have the nice sunny weather.
Yeah, and if you know, sure, you know, Nessa, you know now the farmers are probably dying for the rain, so we can't say too much about it now at the moment.
I know. Well, actually, now I'm not planting a load of wildflower seeds myself, so I was thinking the same. I was looking at going, oh yeah, at least they'll get a water now, and it's bringing them along nicely.
Yeah. I suppose, Nessa, to start, by way of introduction, tell the listeners a small bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Okay, Anne. Well, I'm in Moat, and I have 4 children. My eldest is 19. He's finishing up now his first year of college. And then I have 15-year-old, 13 and 11. So busy enough household. But I trained as a nurse in St. James's Hospital, and it was affiliated to Trinity at the time. We were the first diploma group, actually, back then. And after the diploma I went on, I did my degree in Trinity as well, which was great. It was great to get the opportunity to do that at the time. And I stayed nursing for, I suppose, about 10 years. And within that 10 years, kind of, I did lots of different bits and pieces. I started to do the practice nurse course in the Royal College of Surgeons. I think it could have been a 2-year course at the time. I did a year of it, and I was pregnant with Jack then at the time, my eldest. So that was that. I meant to go back to it and I didn't get to, I suppose, with other bits and pieces going on. And after that, we moved to Mullingar and I started working there in the hospital in A&E part-time. And as well as that, I was working with an agency, which was also affiliated to James's, actually facilitating some home blood transfusions. So there was kind of, I always had bits and pieces of jobs along the way, you know, that I kind of was always doing bits of courses. And when I was in Mullingar, I was doing a back to, or what was it, a start your own business and, you know, these sorts of things. I always had an interest in doing extra little bits and pieces after work and that. So I think, well, after my second son was born, then we were living in Moat at that stage. And I started working as a practice nurse here in Moat for a couple of years, which I really loved. Actually, it was the nicest part of any of the nursing jobs I'd had. Now, I really liked it. Here in the town, it was really nice. And after that, then, that was when Fiona was born in 2007, was when actually I finished shop nursing. So at that year, actually, my mum had just passed away a couple of months before Fiona was born. And my dad, we were living beside my dad, we were just building here actually at the time. And I suppose he needed a little bit extra support and his own health then. He had a few little issues and he was in and out of hospital. So with everything going on, it was going to be really hard for me to go back to work to, you know, to a 9-to-5 as such. My husband's a guard, so he was working nights and working shifts and working, you know, as they do. So it was going to be hard for me to go back working in a working days or nights or anything, really. I suppose we had always worked opposite each other. But so at that stage, I just took the decision to kind of to stay at home with the kids. I had three at that stage. And
what was it like making that decision, Nessa? Was it scary or was it something that you knew you should do?
It wasn't really, on because I suppose in my head, I had a million things I wanted to do. And I've always been like that. I've always had overflowing things that, oh, I'm mad to do this now, I'm mad to, you know, whatever it may be. At that stage, I can't even tell you where my mindset was when at that stage, only I knew life was incredibly busy. Like, you know, I had a newborn and a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and as I said, then my dad, dad ended up moving in with us a while after that. But life was just really, really busy, and we were building, we had just finished building as well. So I kind of thought, yeah, it was just going to be really difficult after that to move back into work. But soon enough, I was into food at that stage, and I would always cook with the children or bake with the kids. And I thought, there's an opportunity now maybe to do cookery classes or with children. So I kind of went and I started exploring that idea. And I contacted the, you know, our local enterprise board and all that, and kind of just saw what I needed to have in place to actually do that, or what would I need to do. So everyone was very helpful, and I say, like, to this day, everyone, sure, it's great when you want to set up something. There are so many resources there. There's so many people that have gone through different businesses that they're there to facilitate. So by the following summer, I'd set up my classes. Now, I had also done like a few days in Ballymaloe, but nothing major, only, you know, just a few days, just to actually really say to me, yeah, I love this.
But at this stage, the cooking was something that was taking your fancy.
It was. Now, I had no formal training. I didn't have, my mother was, like, she was a great cook and
did you grow up in a real, a household where there was always baking and things being
made? Always baking. Oh yeah, always scones being whipped out of the oven, and yeah, just real, it was lovely, like real busy house. And then obviously the silage men and the whole lot, and big lots of food on the table. And yeah, so it's a typical farming house, I suppose. But and that was ingrained in me anyway, that I loved food, I loved cooking, I loved baking. And it was something that I wouldn't have thought of going down that route when I was in school. But 10 years on, then I thought, no, this is something now I could possibly make a run with. And No, it was good. It was good. I started those classes, and at the time then, as I said, Dad was here and he had a lovely vegetable garden outside ready for us, and we had hens, so I would have classes with the children and, you know, maybe bring them outside and we'd pick whatever, carrots or whatever, and then get the eggs and come in and make a carrot cake. And it was all very relaxed and, you know, it was great. It worked out really well now. I really enjoyed it. But then, of course, mine were very small. And then I was soon enough then again pregnant with Millie. So it was good, though. It all worked out well. And I went on from teaching kind of children's cookery classes then to advance to doing classes for teenagers. And then eventually kind of I started doing demonstrations then for adults. So it was nice. It was a nice intro into the whole food side of things. And I enjoyed it. And there was plenty of interest kind of in the Midlands. Anyway, there's plenty of interest in classes. And I would also make jams and cakes and, you know, anything really to make an extra few bob. So and I would sell those then at the classes too. So it was, yeah, just worked out grand. It was nice and busy, and it was I enjoyed it.
And what was it like starting to do the demonstrations, Nessa? Tell, where were you demonstrating?
Well, I started with, I had rented the in Moat in the community school. They have a lovely big kitchen for home ec. So I had approached the school in there to see about the possibility of renting their facilities, which is great. Like, really, you know, and it was something at the time I was saying, sure, every town has this available really to them, and if it would be great, you know, it's great to be able to use them at night time for something else. And obviously they were very approachable and they were great, and I started doing the demonstrations there, and then for adults. And on top of that, then kind of like women's groups, or, you know, there were different festivals like Bloom and all. Bloom, actually, they probably came after, more so after when I had the book, I suppose. They I was approached to a few, you know, they were always used as promotions for the book, I suppose, going to any of these festivals like Sheridan's and Fern and all that. But lots of hard work now, and like, you know, there are all these demos, because a lot of them, you're nearly always in the middle of a field somewhere, and you have to cart a whole load of food with you and have everything prepped and everything. And normally it would just be myself, but now I'd have my eldest boy, he was always nearly with me as well. So it was great. But no, lots of fun too, though. It was nice. It was nice to do. I enjoyed it.
And tell me, how did the book come about?
Well, back, I suppose, in 2010 or that, after I had Millie, I had I set up the blog,
you were doing all this now, and you'd four small kids.
Yeah, I know, but it was all just bits and pieces. So, Anne, you know, it's not, there was nothing there. You know, it was, some days would be mad busy, and others they weren't. So it was grand. I loved to write. I really loved to write, and I had written a children's book, which actually I haven't really ever properly explored since that. Now, that was when I was pregnant. Millie's now 11, so it was when I was pregnant with Millie, and I went to a writer's day in the Writer's Centre, you know, in Dublin, and they're fantastic. They're really, really well resourced for helping people kind of starting out with their writing. But this was a how to get published day or something like that, and the commissioning editor on the course said, it basically what he said, anyway, there was maybe 200 people in the room, and he was saying, if you want to get published, you really need to make yourself Googleable. So, and in a good way, obviously, you know, that you'll pop up when your name, when they pop your name into a search, that it comes up and there's a few, you know, that you're there anyway, because they were kind of, I suppose, saying, unless you're coming with an absolutely outstanding book, you need to have, you know, you need to have a little bit of a following. Now, I wasn't on Facebook, Twitter, were they even around? They probably were. They were in 2009 or 2010.
Yeah, you would have had, yeah, Facebook then anyway.
Yeah, so yeah. I wasn't on anything at that stage. So
you were on the back foot.
I know, I was kind of coming home going, jeez, where would you start there now? How would you get yourself on Google? So, and it was actually Jack. Now, Jack is now 19. He was 7 at the time, and he was always very techie. I suppose my husband is techie, but Jack said, oh, there's this thing called a blog where you add recipes to or whatever. So I thought, geez, I'll run with that anyway. That's grand. So I started that, and all of a sudden I was immersed into this whole food world, where now blogging was really very new back then in Ireland, even. Like Kristen Jensen and Caroline Hennessy, they went on to set up the Irish Food Bloggers Network kind of within maybe a year after that. But it was really lovely. Like a lot of people who I know now through food, and I'm in the Food Guild now. So like lots of people who were in the Guild were actually, you know, I would have met for the first time back then when we were all very new coming into blogging, but everyone had their jobs doing something else, but blogging just for obviously for fun and for something different to do. But and that was it. I set up the blog, and again I was focused on I wanted to write, so I wanted to gain more experience, so I reached out to a local newspaper and I asked them, could I write a column, a recipe column. I started writing a weekly one for free. I just, you know, I said I'd do it for the experience, and I went on to write for them for 5 years. And around that time then I was approached by Easy Parenting to write a column for them. That was my first paid writing job, so it was very exciting. I was delighted to get it.
And you enjoying the writing, Nessa?
I was loving it, like really loving it. It was all completely new to me, but I did like photography. I liked food styling. That's still a side now I really, really love. Like I love doing my photos for Irish Country Living. Like I love doing my recipes. I love developing them.
Anybody who's looked in the magazine will know they're fantastic photos as well.
Oh, thanks so much, Anne. But it's I love I just love all that. I love that kind of creative side where you can for taking the photos. But so that was all. I went there, and then in 2012 I was a couple of years blogging then, and I had the I was busy with columns, and Owen Purcell from New Island Books, he sent me an email one night just wondering about the possibility of writing a family cookbook with them, which was obviously fantastic and a dream for me. So I was so grateful and delighted to Owen for that opportunity. And that was it. And I suppose it was the book really that gave me that platform. And even though like people would say you might make too much money, like obviously Anya, you probably gather like there wouldn't be a huge amount of money made from any of these things, all these little bits add together, but still there's still an income though. And but it's more the platform I suppose you get then from writing a book or from something like that, that someone that led me to write for the Farmer's Journal then, which I'm really, really proud of. I'm still really proud of. Maria had interviewed me that summer in 2013. And soon after that, then Maria had asked me to write just a few articles based on one of the chapters in the book, Home Nurse. So I was delighted with that. I thought initially it was just going to be for, you know, two or three columns or whatever, but it ended up then being, it's still running, so whatever, 7 years later, that's all. I'm really delighted to have it and really proud, especially from being from a farm background. It's fantastic to be able to send in my column every time, every month. I'm delighted when I see it then in the paper. I'm still so proud of it. So and that's it really, I suppose. That's how I got as far as the column in Irish Country Living. So
and I suppose just on the column that you do for us, it's Home Nurse. The concept, yes. It kind of marries your nursing side with your food side. And obviously you had your own you had your own chapter on the book in it. Was it something,
yes,
did you think that it would become such a thing that people would be so interested in? I suppose the health side of, you know, how food can make you healthy and, you know, can aid with different ailments and things like that.
I know. Not initially, really, to be honest. I didn't think, you know, it was one chapter that I added in, I suppose, because my mother had been sick, and that was when mom was sick was kind of when I started properly taking over doing a bit of cooking, you know, that kind of way, or cooking for her, where I had always been the one you'd go there for your dinner.
When you were cooking for your mother, Nessa, were you cooking with, you know, with health in mind, or, you know, trying to boost, give a kind of energy boost?
Absolutely. And it was like mom was going through chemotherapy and was quite unwell, so, you know, it was all foods that were palatable and easy to manage, but still giving a little bit of nutrition and a little bit of nourishment. And then again with dad, then when he was he was in and out of hospital, and you're just more mindful. You're kind of thinking, well, what's going to be like if, like, I remember Mam's tongue being very sore and like trying to figure out, well, what's she going to have to eat now that would actually be nourishing but easy to manage that. And yeah, I suppose it just made me think differently. At that stage, like, I was still nursing, like, say, when my mother was sick, like, but yeah, so it just made me think differently. And then I suppose I was even surprised I got a chapter out of it in the book. And just being pregnant as well, you know, there are so many ailments that you feel, you know, different foods can help in a way with, like, if it's iron deficiency anemia or something. Just that's the way I would base any columns. I'd kind of would have an idea, like, what foods are rich in the nutrient that's lacking there because of that deficiency or because of that ailment. So, and then I would just develop a recipe around it. So it's nice, actually, you know. So I would just pick something that's high, if it's something high in iron, and then develop a recipe around it. So, which I love doing, I can test it out and that. But yeah, so I suppose, yeah, I was surprised, actually. I was surprised that, and even a few years on now, I'd often be thinking, oh, what's, you know, it's great. Now, Maria's great, and Janine now is great. You know, they're great for ideas too. And they'll say, and me and Maria before that, then would, you know, that I'd have, or they'd give me ideas and say, how about doing something on osteoporosis, or, you know, whatever. So it's great. It's I get lots of ideas from them too of what to write about, which is brilliant and helpful.
And say, had you always been interested in that kind of health and healing side of food, Nessa, or did that only, I suppose, come about in your caring for your mom and your dad?
To be honest, yeah, it really only came about then. Before that, like, when I was busy, when the kids were all small, it wasn't so much wasn't as prevalent at all. I always loved food. I always loved eating and, you know, nice food. But no, it really was only when I needed to, when it started kind of becoming more of a need, that I focused more on the nutritional side of food and how it can help kind of in different situations.
And did you, obviously, your nursing background informed that, did it, Nessa, a lot? Because obviously,
I think so. I think so. And especially with practice nursing as well, you know, you would have people who are coming in with maybe a high cholesterol or, you know, blood pressure and different things that they need, maybe a low salt diet, for whatever reason, and going alongside with their medication or whatever they'd be prescribed, you'd give that little bit of advice on dietary, what would be good there to eat, or what you should kind of try and avoid now for the next while, or that. So that was always that. Yeah, that came properly into play, I suppose, and with practice nursing more than the hospital setting even.
And your own kitchen now, Nessa, you four teenagers are almost, mm-hmm. one of them's an almost yeah. teenager. Do you have a very healthy kitchen, a very healthy meals, or is there a balance there?
Not really, no. If you look at my Instagram, you think we eat cake from morning to night because it tends to photograph nicer. So I share lots of cake recipes, but I know, but we'd eat fairly good, and it's but we'd have plenty of treats too, and plenty of nice things. And my youngest, Millie, she's 11 and she's in fifth class, and she's hugely interested in baking and cooking and everything, and sure, I just love it. I love having her by my side. She's great, and she even loves the food styling too, and the, you know, the bits on Instagram we'd be putting up together. And yeah, sure, it's lovely. It's nice to be able to do together. But the food is important. Yeah, I have two lads that are big into Gaelic, so they have to be fed well before matches and everything, or it'd be my fault if they get a cramp in their stomach. So.
Jesus, they're putting a lot of pressure on you there, Nessa. You'll be out playing the last one today.
Oh, stop. But yeah, so it's I said that's the same for every mother.
I think so. And just when you're talking about the kids there, Nessa, because obviously with the kids that kind of, as you were saying, prompted you onto this food journey, you were cooking about them when you started into the kids' classes. Is it a nice thing to do with your kids cooking?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. And I think, like, it is such an important life skill for everyone. So When you're setting them off in the world there, it's grand to know, well, at least you can make a bit of dinner for yourselves, or you can, you know, that you can at least survive in that way. I think it's very important. And there are so many easy little dishes to do with children. Like I've always baked with mine, and I would have, you know, when they were small, before I was even into food myself, I'd always say have a bowl out and have them making a, you know, scones or something easy, you know, something easy that they can mess around with there. And there's yeah, it is. I think it's so important. And then it's just a nice, something nice to do together, and have everyone in the kitchen together is nice too. So yeah. I encourage them all to do home ec. So I have, like, Jack did home ec up to sixth year, and the next two lads now will do it until their junior cert anyway. So it's great. Like it's great to have those skills, really, isn't it? For moving on.
Yeah. It's important. You're at a loser straight away if you can't cook.
Yeah. It's a good one to add that you can make a few bits. So yeah, no, it's good.
And on the writing side of things, Nessa, have you anything in the pipeline at the moment, or anything planned for the next while in terms of books? Is there anything else coming?
Well, I kind of took a little diverted back to what I started initially, why I initially kind of, I suppose, started out writing and started the blog and everything. I have written a novel, a commercial fiction novel, back in last year that I kind of had it finished up. So I need to get back to that now to edit it and to hopefully have it ready to head out to some publishing houses. But it's nice. It was something now I've wanted to do for years, and I have so many notepads everywhere, and I'm constantly, so I'll have a notepad for jotting bits down, a notepad for, you know, gratitude
ideas,
notepad. Yeah, so I'm full time jotting stuff down. So I had lots of ideas, and then there was one particular idea for a book that was building, you know, in my head for a long time, going, oh yeah, and bits, you know, I was always jotting little bits down about characters and that. So I eventually said whenever that I maybe in 2019 that I'd sit down and I'd write this book. So I have that, and so I need to try and focus a little bit more now just to get it completely ready to head off. We're very lucky though. There's really, like, for anyone who's interested in writing, like, there really are great resources. Like, say, I would have gone to a few of the days in the Writers' Centre. I went back to one actually in 2019 just to really, I suppose, kickstart my thoughts again in that direction, you know, that I to start writing a little bit more. But I know Vanessa Fox Lachlan, she runs writing.ie. Did you hear of her before, Anne? She's fantastic.
No, I haven't, Vanessa.
And oh, it's just great. And throughout lockdown last year, every Friday she had a weekly slot with her own agent, Simon Truen. I think he could be based in London, but it was all about how to find an agent and how to get published, and, you know, and kind of even just different writing tips. And then they had different guests every week then after that. But it was just fantastic. It was like sitting in one of these seminars, you know, where about how to get published. And for anyone interested, it's a great resource there. But there's great helpful people who are published are very helpful as well, if you contact anybody wondering about different bits and pieces. So, but at the end of the day, for me, I just need to sit down and just finish it. So so hopefully that's it. But for the minute anyway, I'll keep writing my column for the Farmer's Journal, which I love, and I do a few food styling jobs on and off for different brands or companies, which I love doing too. So it's all good now. It's all good. It's just busy enough, so it's grand, keeping me ticking over.
And Nessa, just as you were kind of mentioning the food side of things there, you really have come from circle. You started off with wanting to write the book, and then you came back around, I suppose, to, you know, went through food and came back around to it again. But I suppose just on the food side of things, would you say that you have any kind of a mantra with food that you live by, or is there any kind of, is food to you, I know you do the home nurse column, is food, you know, is it more than that? Is it kind of, is it a celebration? Is it something that keeps you healthy and well? What is it for you?
I'm not sure. I think it's maybe all of the above there, Anne, that you said. Like, I love sitting down. Like, I love having the table set and sitting down to dinner. And I would do that nearly every day, where, you know, I'd have a few, like, no effort now. I just love like the kids would say I'm doing it just for my Instagram photos, but I'm not. I genuinely love like putting a few flowers on the table and throwing down the placemats and, you know, having the table nice to sit down and eat together. And, you know, I do love that. I love the big bowls on the table and everyone tucking in. But as well as that, absolutely, yeah, I think for eating, for nourishment is so important. And I think we all probably do it without even knowing it. You know, you automatically would say, you know, if someone has a sore throat, you're going to be getting them, encouraging them to eat something maybe, or take a little bit of honey, or, you know, like, say we all have that kind of side of a home nurse to us anyway, where, like, I think especially as parents, that you're constantly aware of what you're feeding is helping, kind of helping the children along as such, making them a little bit stronger if they're unwell and things like that. So yeah, I think it's all of the above, but just, yeah, I just love food and love cooking, love baking. And yeah, any hour of the day or night, I'd whip out the mixing bowl and start. It's just something I love.
It's really interesting you say we all have a bit of a home nurse in us, because I would have never thought of it like that before. But I know I could even think of one of my friends in particular, and any little bit of an ailment she'll have, we'll throw a bit of honey and lemon and this and that in here, and you know what, we'll do, you know, some people are really good for that, of having a little cure for everything.
I think so, and it's probably something that we all grew up with too, as our parents or grandparents. It was very much in focus, kind of food that were healing, without, you know, I know herbs or nettle soup and all the different bits and pieces that they'd have. But even, yeah, I think it is something that has been passed on to a lot of people, probably without it being terribly obvious, but everyone would have in their back heads themselves what they need to eat when they're feeling different ways. So yeah, and if you need to eat comfort food and you need to sit down with a slice of cake, I think that's okay too. It's for whatever way you're feeling, it's good. Food can help.
But I think that's the perfect note, Nessa, to finish things up on. If you need to eat a slice of cake too.
Yeah, well, that's probably one of my mantras. So yeah.
Well, I enjoy that one too, Nessa. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Anne. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks a million.
Thank you for coming on.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.